happy to be here this evening to see all of y'all. Almost said this morning. And this lesson is called New Testament Christianity. I had a friend that does not share with us in our religious conviction, so I was kind of doing this for him. So this evening, we want to welcome you here to this church, to New Testament Christianity. Maybe you've never been among a church that's practiced New Testament Christianity. And that's what you come among this evening. This church is governed by the New Testament. And we believe that the New Testament is as perfect a constitution for the New Testament church as the Old Testament was for the Old Testament church. And as you take your Bibles, you're going to have to make up your mind how you're going to approach the Bible. You know, some people I've heard say that it's our Bible. Anywhere in the Bible you read it, you can do it. But I'm going to try to prove this evening before it's over that nobody in Mansfield, Arlington, or anywhere else is keeping the whole Bible. And if we would just take what the Bible says about the Word of God, then we wouldn't have any reason to be different about it. And then today, as you come among us, if someone comes to the front to become one with Jesus Christ, you will see them buried in the watery grave. Not sprinkled, you will see them buried in the watery grave of baptism. And the reason is for the remission of their sins. And you know, you don't have to have a PhD degree and study all of your life theology to be able to explain New Testament worship. Just study the New Testament and be honest enough to follow the New Testament. And as you take your Bibles, you hold a library, 66 books. 39 are in what we call the Old Testament. 27 are in what we call the New Testament. But even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, New Testament books. But Jesus is living under the old law as he gives the teaching for the new law. And I believe, I'm getting nervous seeing all of y'all. And I believe today that according to the New Testament, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, we're not throwing the Old Testament away. We need the Old Testament. For the Old Testament is nothing but the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is nothing but the Old Testament revealed. And when we read the Old Testament, look at the hope we get from it. We read about Cain killing his faithful brother Abel. And it teaches us in life that just because you live right, that doesn't mean that you won't have trouble in this world. If you're going through life because you live right and you believe everybody's going to love you and think well about you, you're going to be disappointed. And I don't care what church you're in, folks will talk about you. They would lie on you, lie to you, lie about you, under you, over you. And being in the church doesn't solve that. But when you're in the church that we are talking about this evening, it's the hope of salvation. Your being in the church doesn't mean that you're going to have a perfect marriage, perfect children, the best job in Mansfield. God didn't promise you that. And some of you have found out that just because you love the Lord, you can't love him enough for a mate. If your mate doesn't love the Lord, you can love the Lord and serve the Lord and still have trouble in your home. But this evening we're happy that God has taken the time to speak to us. And listen to what he's told us. That there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. But God delivered them. Now, can I not believe today that just because I go through my fiery furnaces of life, that God will be with me? That was Daniel in the lion's den. God delivered him. And today, I just believe that whether you in Mansfield or Arlington, like I say, God will deliver you if you stay by him. So whatever you do this evening, don't be deceived. You know, and years ago, I heard about a big write-up in a paper. You all remember Harry Houdini? Well, years ago, they wrote up a big paper about him, and it says that Nice is not expected to keep vows. Harry Houdini died on All Hallow Eve. 61 years later, mediums again were convened on the anniversary of his death to see if history's greatest escape artist can pick the ultimate lock. From his deathbed, Houdini told his niece Beth to hold a seance on the anniversary of his death every year for 10 years, and he would contact her if he could. Now, church, they can call up Samantha Stevens on Bewitch and get all of the witches and warlocks together they want. But I guarantee you that Houdini will not speak to them from the dead, and he won't come back until God say go back. And when he comes back, a whole lot of others will be coming back. But see, some folks don't know anything anymore. They read something like this, and they'll say, well, you can't say whether it's right or it's wrong. But brothers, right is right, and we ought to read the Bible, and we would know some things in this life. We listened to television sometime, and there before the woman preaching, and she says, God sent me to preach. But brothers and sisters, that woman is not telling the truth. God doesn't lie, and God is, and the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. God is not a lie. So let God be true and men be the lie. Never make God a liar. So don't be deceived. There are people saying everything. I mean, people are saying everything and they're jumping up. And the bottom line is, a bunch of them is to try to get into your purse and your pocket. A lot of preachers today are not concerned about your soul. And folks are talking about this kind of stuff, but they still go there. Somewhere, someday, we're going to have to stand up and beg for truth. In the New Testament, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance. And that's in Colossians 2:14. Sorry about that. Colossians 2:14. The Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Jesus took the old law, and he nailed it to the cross, and he gave us a new and a living way, built on better promises, built on a better sacrifice. And this evening, as we come to among you, we say, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm a Christian, and I don't want to be any other thing but a Christian. I don't want to wear a name that glorifies nothing but Jesus. And in that, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian, and if you have been born of the water and the blood, you are to be nothing but a Christian. I'm a member of the Church of God, the House of God, the Church of the Living God, the Church, the Kingdom of God, Church of Christ. But I will not wear or have called over me any name that I cannot find in the Bible because I am practicing New Testament Christianity. And we call you back to the book, to New Testament Christianity. Now, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. If you want to get that, you can go ahead. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. And the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all of thy works. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Now, if we was under the old law, we would be keepers of the Sabbath, the day that we call Saturday. We wouldn't even light a fire. We would do all of our cooking on Friday. And somebody say, how do you know we would do it? Our faith. That faith that has us living towards Jesus, that faith towards God would have had us keeping the Sabbath. But the Sabbath had been nailed to the cross. And today, see, I can't read my own writing. But the Sabbath has been nailed to the cross. And today, the Bible teaches us, up on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him. Why do we come today? This is the first day of the week. Why would we take out monies that we have worked hard for in this times when the stock market is steady going up and down? Well, why would we take out our hard-earned money and put it in the convection plate? It is an act of faith. That faith suggests to us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we know that it is our God-given responsibility to support the work of the Lord. So we are keepers of the New Testament, not of the old. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says that we are to break bread. By example, we are to break bread on the first day of the week. And this morning, if you were here, you saw us do that. This evening, if it's the Lord will and someone has come and may have missed it, you will see us do it again. And it's not because it would be something nice for us to do. It's because we yield to the teaching of the New Testament. So we are keepers of the New Testament, not of the old. So let's not deceive ourselves. You know, a lady down in Louisiana heard a lesson like this. And a good friend invited her to a lesson like this. And she was part of a church where they sprinkled in the name of baptism, where they had a name that had nothing to do with the Bible. And a good friend invited her to the lesson. And when the preacher got up, he exposed that kind of teaching. And after he got through, the grandmother and the granddaughter, they got up a little early and they went outside, and the granddaughter said, Grandma, did you hear that teacher? Are you going to bring it? He said that we are buried with him in baptism unto death. Grandma, he quoted 1 Timothy 2 and 12, that women are not to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Grandma, he's read that we are buried with him in baptism unto death, Romans 6:3-4, Colossians 2:12. Grandma, what do you think about that? Her grandmother looked at her and she said, Child, I'm not studying that old Church of Christ preacher. And the next Sunday, they went back to where they worshiped. And they had gotten a new preacher. And he got up and he went over in the book of Leviticus for a while. Then he went over in Chronicles. He had read of the sacrifices, and when he finished, he decided that he was going to go around and have everybody to bring him a portion of a cow. And when he got to Grandma, he asked Grandma to bring him a half of a cow. And when he asked that, Grandma jumped up and hopped out of there, and her granddaughter was running out behind her. She said, Grandma, did you hear that preacher? Are you going to bring it? She said, Child, I ain't studying that preacher, just like that old Church of Christ preacher say. We ain't under no old law. The grandma, when it went to her pocketbook, you could not deceive grandma. It didn't matter otherwise, but when it went to her pocket, grandma got her head together. And she said, you're not going to get me to do it. You're going to have to come out of that Old Testament if you're going to get me to do it. And folks get up here today and talk about this, that, and the other. We ought to tell them, come out of the Old Testament. Show it to me in the New Testament. And if you can rightly divide it in the New Testament, I keep it then. Circumcision. If we were under the old law, even 430 years before God gave the law, he gave them the law of circumcision. Genesis 17:10. Every Jew boy was to be circumcised on the eighth day. But then Paul writes in Galatians 5:6, for neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Paul says in Galatians, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. It's faith which worketh by love. But in the Old Testament, not to circumcise your children was enough for God to kill a man over. Now, what happened between Genesis, Exodus, and Galatians? I tell you what happened. The cross of Christ happened. And when Christ died on the cross, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. He nailed it to the cross. He put us under grace and truth. Now listen to the Bible in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 23. If you want to turn there, I'll give you time. Exodus chapter 4, just verse 23. Because I just want to make sure that we are not deceived as we read about what we're reading about. I want to bring this sermon this evening to your heart. And I want you to know that if you don't do something about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, then the Bible would contradict itself. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. God met Moses. Now, who's Moses? Moses is one of the greatest leaders for God's people that I've read of in the Bible. And I can't hardly get it into my mind how one man bought a bunch of slaves, over a million of them, out of a land called Egypt and led them anywhere. You talking about trying to leave folks this evening? If you had a million of them and they don't have any extra clothes to change into, they don't have any extra shoes, and you tell them don't worry about shoes. God is going to fix it so your shoes will never wear out, even if you wear them for 40 years. And he led those folks. And God met him by the way. And God was going to kill Moses. Brothers and sisters, if God don't let Moses get by, he's not going to let Cannon get by. If he don't let Cannon get by, he's not going to let any of you get by. Amen. We need to find more love in the church. And some of us, we come to church sometime and be riding in these cars. We leave home arguing. We come back in here into church service, act like everything is all right. Get right outside that door and start arguing again. We need to find more love in the homes also. And for somebody to say, why didn't Moses do it? I tell you why. He was too busy doing God's work. And he let his family go. Well, somebody might say, well, Cannon, you ought to listen to yourself. I'm listening to it. I would not put this lesson in here and give it to you without putting it in here. Because we need to hear it ourselves, a lot of us. A lot of times you doing things for God and you forget about your own home. And God says if you're not worthy to take care of your own house first, how are you going to be worthy to do it in his house? To take care of his house. It starts at home first. You can be so busy doing God's work that you let your house go. And like I said, if you can't handle your own house, how you going to take care of God's house? Moses had himself a good wife. And for those of us that are leaders in the church, if we don't have good wives, we don't have a chance. Most of us take the credit for raising our children. But the truth is told. The wife normally has a bigger hand in it than the man has. And I want you to listen to this a minute. Zipporah did not run up to Moses and say, listen, God kill him. He hadn't been taking care of home. You see, a lot of women run around and they'll tell everything that ain't going right at home. And I ain't going to say, oh man, wall, amen, walls, because them walls don't talk, you know, and we've been telling that lie for too long. Some of us work the man so hard. Some of you, on two or three jobs, he's tired all the time. You know, some women play tired. You know, women used to play tired, but now the men are going to play tired. Now listen to the Bible. Then we find Zipporah. She took a sharp stone, and she cut the skin off. She circumcised her son. Now they didn't have sharp knives back in that day like we had. So she took a stone and she cut the skin off of her sons. Now remember what Paul said in Galatians 5:6. Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. But in Exodus chapter 4, we got God gonna kill Moses. Now what happened? Jesus died between these two events. And when Jesus died on the cross, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. I can't say that word right. And he put us under grace and truth. And when Jesus died, circumcision was also nailed to the cross. And it's not because God is commanding us to do it, to be a Christian or a member of the Church of Christ. And then it says that she cast the skin at Moses' feet. Now I want you to know something about Zipporah. Like I said, she didn't just do it and let her husband get off. You see, a man needs someone to remind him when he's missing sometime. And a good woman knows when and her. If you got somebody that's going around and they acting like a dog, and you want to tell him he's a dog, don't just stand up there and say, you old low down, no good at dog you. You can tell him. You walk up to him, and you pat him on the shoulder, and you say, you know, you the biggest dog in Mansfield. And he'll like that, because he want to be big anyhow. But now a wife can go in the bedroom, or in the living room, or in the kitchen, just with her husband, in the car. And she could get a message over to him if he's wise. And Zipporah went to Moses, and she cast the skins at his feet. And she said, surely, a brother husband art thou to me. She didn't keep it to herself. And you say, Canon, what is your message? Well, it's a two-pronged message. Not only are we to practice New Testament Christianity, but church, we need to find more love in the church. And we'll never be the happy kind of people we ought to be if we can't find that love in our homes. Okay. Now, the New Testament Christianity, but let me see. I should have had my other glasses. I didn't bring the right ones. Okay, I'm going right here. I do this every time. Y'all make me nervous. If I had time, I would show you that in the Old Testament, they talked about tithing, giving a tenth of all that the soil gave, all of your trees, the fruit trees. But over in the New Testament, we've been liberated from tithing, that we might give liberally. There may be someone in here this evening. You haven't been sick. Your house is all paid for. I mean, your bills are all paid for. And maybe this evening you want to give God 30% or 40%. If you can do that cheerfully, that's between you and God. We need to find more love in the church at giving. Because I'm going to tell you this evening, there's someone in here that God has been extra good to. You might not mean it, but there's someone in here today that God has been better to than we deserve. So you don't have to sit there with a pen and paper and just figure out 10% and just give 10%. That's legal giving. We need to be liberated. Let me see. If I had time, I would show you that in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14, that the priest went to a woman, Huldah, to be instructed. Something happened between Paul and Huldah. Paul said, and the something that happened was Jesus on the cross. And what this church is dedicated to is practicing New Testament Christianity. And we call anyone today that's willing to practice New Testament Christianity, who's willing to live New Testament Christianity, to come and go with us this evening. If I had times, I would show you that in Psalms 98 and verse 4 and the verse that follow, that in the Old Testament, they used harps, cornets, and trumpets in their praise giving. But over in the New Testament, the Bible says that we are to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. Something happened between David and Psalms and Paul and Ephesians. And the something that happened was Jesus on the cross. Yes, Lord. Okay, something happened. So whatever you do this evening in church, I'm trying to say you, don't be deceived, because this world has a way of making us believe that we have it made when we don't have it made. And I can't understand how some people can take plain scriptures like women are not to teach, but to be in silence in the church, and get up and say that some group of men gave them to authority to do that. I can't understand how some people can be sprinkled in the name of baptism and read in the Bible that baptism is a barrier. I can't understand how some people can say and be happy that we've got a Bible. We got a big Bible in our church. But when you say but by name, that church is not in the Bible. It appears that none of the apostles knew anything about it. I've never found where God said anything about it. And people go right on and say, well, I just believe that I'm all right. But God didn't ask us to walk by our heart's feeling. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. Did you come here this morning, this evening? To the Lord. There's a lot of us that are here this evening. And I want you to know that we have to live according to what the Bible says. Amen. If we don't live according to it, it won't be up that we'll be going to, but it'll be down. Now, if there's someone here this evening that do not share with us in our religious conviction, the first thing is to hear the word. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. I got it. I'm off. But Lord, you must hear, then you believe, and after you believe, then you must repent. Luke 13:3-5. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Then you must confess Christ. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Then you must be baptized. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we also. Then Revelations 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and thou will receive a crown of life that fadeth not away. I thank you for your time. And if there's nothing else, then sing the song of invitation.